This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, God's Promise of Peace.
20 years ago yesterday, it was a day like this. It was a beautiful day. No one thought anything would change the day or how we felt about the day. But it wasn't long in the morning before jet planes began to ram themselves into the towers and eventually to bring them down. And then they went into the Pentagon. And then a jet went into the heartland in Pennsylvania, in the beautiful, fertile fields of Pennsylvania. Our peace was disrupted. Our country will never be the same because of that. This morning I want to talk to you about things that disrupt our peace and what we can do about it. Last Sunday, we began this series of messages on the virtues that are born in every believer when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts. Last week, we spoke about his promise of love, and this week, we speak about his promise of peace. The author, Thomas Watson, writes, "If God be our God, he will give peace in trouble when there is a storm without. He will make peace within. The world can create trouble in peace, but only God can create peace in times of trouble." Think about that. What does the world have to offer us to bring peace? They set up the League of Nations. It didn't work. They set up the United Nations, which promised to turn weapons into plowshares. That hasn't worked. It seems like anything the world has attempted has failed in its efforts to bring peace. But we believe in Creator God. We believe in the sovereignty and the majesty of our God. And he has made a promise that he will give us peace, regardless of what's going on out here. The important thing is what's going on in here. This is where we experience what's going on out here. This is where what's going on out here tries to invade what's going on in here. But listen to what God's promise directed to you says. Question: will you claim it? Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with, what's the word?
Peace.
Say it again.
Peace.
That's his promise to you. Peace is defined this way: a state of calm, sense of well-being, quiet, security, freedom from disquieting, oppressive thoughts or emotions, harmony with other people. Antonyms, words that mean something different, mean the opposite. Distress, disturbance, agitation. Are you experiencing any of those negatives? Is your peaceful world been disrupted with negativity and negative thoughts and negative events? I'd like to begin by listing some of life's issues that can bring distress and disturb our sense of peace and well-being. And I'd like to label these things peace breakers. Peace breakers. Here are some peace breakers that will come into your life at some point if they're not already there. Excessive stress, worry, anxiety, anger, fear, sorrow, grief, loss, sickness. All of these painful emotions have a story behind them. Where do those negative things come from? What's going on in your life that's triggered one of these negative peace breakers? So I'd like to just look at three of the ones I listed and kind of give you the story behind them, some of the reasons why that happens. And then as we go along, I want to marry up an account in the Bible of a person, a character in the Bible, whose life had one of these things as his experience or hers. Number one, you become stressed and worried and anxious because you're going through a period of difficulties. Difficulties, trouble at home. Difficulties in your marriage. Difficulties with friend or family members. Work is maybe placing some ever-growing demands on how you do your job. I don't know how many stories I have heard over the last year from folks who are working, and I consider that a very precious ministry to me, to counsel with people who are in the business world and going through some of those stresses. I was in the business world for over 30 years. I've got the experience that some of you have. But that situation at work can keep you up at night. It can keep your mind flipping around like almost nothing else can, because it is challenging the way you make a living. You know, there are some companies and major companies who are currently telling their employees, if you don't get vaccinated, you will not have a job. What kind of a position is that to be put into? You want to talk about stress for people who have a conviction or have a medical issue that they cannot be vaccinated, and you're threatening them with their livelihood? Talk about stress. That's the first thing I want to talk about as we go along here. The second thing I want to talk about as a peace breaker is anger. The emotion of anger obsesses your mind as you dwell on past or present grievances, anger over your current circumstances, angry feelings towards people who have done you wrong. And some people can actually get angry watching the evening news. I can't tell you how many times I've threatened my television with extinction. But then I think about how much it'll cost to replace it, and there won't be anything new when I get there. Anger can do that. Anger can obsess your mind. Anger over things really over which you have absolutely no control. Your current circumstances, sometimes you think you can control them, but more times than not, you have absolutely no control over them. What are you going to do? Sit around being angry about it? Thirdly, sorrow. Sorrow is another peace breaker, and it slips its icy fingers into the deep recesses of your emotions at a loss of a loved one, and it saps you of your peace and your joy. Truth be known, since the dawn of time, we humans have found ourselves overwhelmed by the things that can steal our peace and our joy. And my question to you is this morning, what do you do? And the first suggestion I'm going to make, and you're going to say, why did you make this as a way to break stress? My first suggestion is go to the Bible. Go to the book. It's all in there. And the reason I would say that is because we have examples of men and women who have experienced the whole range of peace breakers, such as you're going through. You can find somebody who's going through something that you've gone through, and you can learn from them. Histories are and promises for the past in Scripture are meant for you to learn from. How do I know that? Well, I know that two ways. First of all, I believe the book. And second of all, I've been a Christian for a long time, and my experience validates what the book has promised. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. When you're under it, when you're overwhelmed by it, when you're in the middle of it, and things are just going wild, you have lost your sense of hope. You feel hopeless. And many of those situations feel hopeless, seem hopeless, and in your mind are hopeless. Where do you go to have that hopelessness erased and put in its place real hope? You can't go any place other than to the Lord. And if you're leaning on some self-help book, or you're leaning on some guru, as opposed to going to the Lord through His Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to do what He's promised to do, what's that? The very first thing He's promised to do was to bring comfort. I will send the what? Comforter, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to marry up three peace breakers we've mentioned with a biblical account. Give you a real sense of what somebody went through. So number one peace breaker, stress and anxiety. And I want to share with you an account of Moses. How did Moses deal with the tremendous stress and anxiety he had leading millions? Now, some people debate that. They say it wasn't millions, it was hundreds. Nonsense. The Scripture tells us it was a lot of people. My Jewish friends say things like, you put two Jewish people together in a debate in a room, you get three different opinions. That's the same of Italians. I can tell you from experience, you know what I'm talking about. Plus, the Italians, you don't agree with me by breaking your legs. This is not right. But we got that. So can you imagine taking hundreds of thousands or millions of people from Egypt and taking them through the deserts of the Middle East and trying to keep them all together and keep them all happy, forget about it. It ain't going to happen. And as they worked their way through the wilderness, food supplies began to become an issue. They had just about run out. Moses is the man. It's all on his shoulders. The pressures and the stress are unbelievable. Just imagine when your kid used to complain to you about things and you thought that was overwhelming. Just think when your husband or your wife is making certain demands on you, you think you're overwhelmed. Multiply that by tens and hundreds of thousands. Tell me how that feels. Numbers 11 tells us, as the people wept and complained, oy vey, Moses asked the Lord in verse 11 this question, what have I done to deserve this situation? How many of you have ever asked God that question? You're going through a bad time and you say, Lord, what did I do to deserve this situation? What was the answer? Well, you wanted to blame yourself or you wanted to blame for God. Circumstances occur. God's never promised you a rose garden. If he did, he told you there'd be thorns. God promised you that in this world you would have problems. So problems are not the issue. Circumstances are not the issue. The issue is when these things come up, how will you go through them? Well, what did Moses want to do? You won't believe this, but here it is. In verse 14 of Numbers 11, he said, I am not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. I'm under it. It's too much for me to bear. Then listen to what he says in the next verse, verse 15. Kill me out of hand. I can't do it. I've gotten to the point where I don't want to do it anymore. I've gotten to the place where it's such a big deal that I don't think I can stand, and I think I'd be better off dead. Now, maybe you've never had those feelings, but people have had those feelings, that they felt trapped and no place to go. What do you do when you feel trapped and no place to go? Well, put a mountain lion up against its back and they feel trapped, they attack. But Moses wasn't of that mindset. He would rather just be done in. Numbers 11, 16, God says, look, meet me at the tabernacle. Bring 70 of the elders. I want to talk to you guys. And in verse 16, in the tabernacle goes on to build Moses. God goes on to build around Moses a circle of faithful men to help him stand up. They want to surround him. God said, I want you to surround Moses as a wall of support and encouragement and prayer. Do you have such a group of folks to surround you? Do you have even one prayer warrior in your life to surround you? And I got news for you. This is supposed to be the work of the church. This is who we are supposed to be. As your pastor, I'm a person you have the right, and I beg you to do it. When you're going through a situation, you've consulted your spouse, you've consulted call me. I want to pray with you. This is the job of each and every believer in Christ. We're all supposed to be there for one another. So God's given you, he's provided you with a circle of truth bearers and a circle of encouragers, a circle of the faithful, let's call it that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. This is what God says to you and to me. Bear ye, that Y-E, when you see ye in the King James Version, it means everybody. It's not speaking to one. So this is the responsibility of all of us. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? The law of Christ is love. We do that. We bear and support one another because we are loved and we want to love in return. Do you love enough to want to be able to support one another in prayer through times of difficulty? Jesus said in John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How was that? He loved us sacrificially. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us to the end. Number two, peacebreaker, anger. This, believe it or not, is an account of Jesus. This is a story about Jesus. The Pharisees, You remember them, hated enemies of Jesus. They were always testing Jesus to see if he would break any of the Jewish laws. Now, we've come to a place in history when all the laws were fulfilled at the cross. We live by faith. Faith that comes in believing that Jesus did the job already. On the cross, he did the job already. His blood was sacrificed for you and for me. We live by faith. We don't live by sight. The Pharisees were always testing to see if Jesus was going to break any of the Jewish laws. They checked every move he made. They followed him down the dusty roads just to see what, or his disciples, what they were going to do. On one occasion, they accused the disciples of profaning the Sabbath. Jesus successfully challenged them for their legalism, breaking every rule, every law. The truth is, you could not live every law. You could not accomplish every law that they had put together. Almost immediately after challenging them, Jesus comes across a person in need. This was a person with a crippled hand. My grandmother had a crippled hand. She had to go for surgery. She was terrified. She had never been in a hospital before. And there was a lady next to her. She was Catholic, my grandmother. She only spoke Italian. And she was in a ward. And next to her on one side was a woman, an Italian woman, praying the rosary. And my grandmother said to her, "Please pray for me. I'm scared about going into surgery with this hand." And the woman turned to my grandmother and said, "I'm not going to pray for you. I don't know what you did that made God punish you." Mm-hmm. Well, on the other side was a lady from the Italian Church of the Brethren in Brooklyn. And she said to my grandmother in Italian, "Don't be afraid. Jesus will be with you. I'll pray for you." Well, the surgery came out fine. That lady followed up with my grandmother, and that lady led her to Christ. In turn, that lady came back, and she led my great-grandparents to Christ. It took that lady to win my great-grandfather to Christ a lot. Because every time that lady left a Bible in Italian, my grandfather threw it in the fire. But eventually, his heart melted, and he gave his heart to the Lord. Amen. It's still the Sabbath. The rules are still in place. Then Jesus' priority is people. His ministry is people. He's reaching people. How? With his words, with his hands, with his prayers, with his love, with everything that he has. The Pharisees couldn't wait to see if Jesus was going to violate Sabbath law and heal this man's terrible condition. Mark 3:3, Jesus asks the crippled man's with the arm to stand up. He does. In verse 4, he asked the Pharisees this question: "Is it legal to do good on the Sabbath?" They didn't answer him. But see, Jesus knew what was going on in their head. He knew how they were just waiting for this event. They couldn't wait to see Jesus heal this man. Verse 5, and he, that's Jesus, looked round about on them, here's the operative word for today, with anger. Jesus looked at them with anger. Why? Because he knew what was in their heart. He knew that their heart was hard. How could you look at this man who's been crippled all his life and say that your rules and your traditions should take precedence over this man being able to start a new page in life? Then Jesus did something they expected and he knew would do. And that is, Jesus healed the man's arms. And guess what? Immediately, it was the next step that the Pharisees began to plot how to kill Jesus. "Hey, you did great with that man. We're going to kill you." What a proposition. Talk about people paying for the good deeds. Note. Verse 5, what we just looked at, that verse you're looking up there on the screen, is the only reference in the Bible to Christ being angry. But listen to this. By his action, by what he did, he exemplified the instruction in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Look at this. "Be ye angry and sin not." Even in Jesus' anger, he did good. The Holy Spirit will give you the same ability. Matthew 5:44. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you. And when you say that's hard and you say that's difficult and you want to run your list of negative reasons for how you deal with people or what your situation is and you want to get angry at God, go back over that verse. Be angry but sin not. And know that God will give you the ability to pray for the people that don't like you and the people that hate you and the people that want to misuse you. Peacebreaker number 3, sorrow. And this is the account of Martha and Mary in John 11. We find that Jesus, one of Jesus' best friends, Lazarus, has died. And the Savior has waited 4 days to minister to his sisters. Martha and Mary are grieving because their brother's dead. And they know someplace in the deep recesses of their mind that if Jesus was here, he could do something about it. And that's the first words out of their mouth. Loss of a loved one disrupts peace with an array of emotions. Loneliness. Go back in your mind now. Think about the times that somebody dear to you died. You feel lonely. You feel incredible sadness. You have depression. You're fatigued, you're angry, and you have remorse. And Jesus begins the process, after 4 days, he's there now, he begins the process of redirecting their emotions. In our sadness, our only consolation is the expectation of this. How many of us are consoled by this truth when a believing loved one goes home to be with Jesus? We know that there is eternal life through Christ. This is our consolation. This is our anticipation. Other word for anticipation, expectation, is hope. This we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and it changes how we see it. And so Jesus comes to the two sisters, and they're trying to complain to him about the fact that he wasn't there. And he said, do you believe that the dead shall rise again? And they said, yes, of course we believe that. And then Jesus says the most earth-changing, life-changing words. And the challenge of those words, he says this in John 11, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then Jesus does something else. He puts the challenge out to them. And I do this at every graveside ceremony that I have. I quote that verse and then I quote the last part of it. And Jesus said, do you believe this? It's one thing to speak it. It's one thing to know it intellectually. But as that casket goes into the ground of that believing loved one, do you say, not goodbye, but I'll see you later? Some, and those words of eternal life were enough to bring comfort and consolation to the sisters. Psalm 39:12, hear my people, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. Yes, you can cry. Yes, you can be angry. Yes, you can have any other number of emotions, but God can hear you through your tears. Psalm 35, a beautiful, beautiful verse. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy and peace come in the morning. The sisters' faith in the Lord were enough to bring life to their brother. Was there a time in the master of winds and waves in Jesus' life when he himself would suffer one of the peace breakers? Well, the prophecy is clear. Isaiah 53:5, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of what? Sorrow. Remember, sorrow is one of the peace breakers. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, another peace breaker. Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Not only is he experiencing those emotions for himself, he's experiencing the emotions you have as you're going through them right here, right now, today, yesterday, tomorrow. When you're grieving, you're not grieving alone. He's grieving with you. The sympathizing, empathizing Jesus. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. The place, the Garden of Gethsemane. The time, mere hours before his trial and death. How is Jesus feeling? Mark 14:35, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. He said to his disciples, I'm depressed. Please pray with me. And what did they do? Maybe what you and I do. They slept In other words, they just disregarded that plea. Tired, weak, depressed, afraid, alone, but God. Luke 22:43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Ever get a call when you were deep in pain from a fellow believer? That's your angel. Did they ever lift you up with words of encouragement from the Bible? That's your angel. The angel was sent. An angel can be sent into your life. Reach out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. In the closing moments of his time on earth, just minutes before his ascension into heaven, Jesus greets his disciples in his glorified, resurrected body, and the first words that come out of his mouth are a blessing. Luke 24:36, peace be unto you. He offers that blessing with all the authority of his divine royalty. Isaiah 9:6 names him the Prince of Peace. It is Christ alone who brings perfect peace. Peace with God, peace with others, and peace within yourself. As followers of the Prince of Peace, our lives must reflect that peace so that in all ways we can share his gift of peace with others. One of the most beautiful prayers ushered by a believer were ushered by Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. Not so much to be understood, but to understand. Not so much to be loved, as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, it's in the pardoning that we are pardoned, it's in the dying that we are born to eternal life. God's promise of peace does not end at that tombstone in that cemetery. You live in peace with him forever. The Prince of Peace is coming back again. And when he comes back again, he will establish peace on this earth for the first time in human history. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Chris will lead us in our closing hymn. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for those who have been listening here in the meeting house and those around the country. We pray your blessing upon us for peace. Lord, help us not just to have listened to another sermon, but to pick up a promise that you will give us peace in the storms of life. And it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen and amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.